never rests.
A million colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
In the words of Kirk Cousins, you like that? You like that? That's what Kirby Smart's saying to the world of Georgia, or of Georgia recruiting and national recruiting right now. Guys, welcome to the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. We appreciate you tuning in on your Sunday evening here. We are presented by American Pride Bank. If you're not familiar with American Pride Bank, great friends, great partners, and great people to do your banking with, whether it's small business loans, personal banking, any of your banking needs, get with American Pride Bank. You can get with them Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. You talk to a decision maker along the way every time you talk to American Pride Bank. So give them a call today. See how they can help you and address your needs today. They are member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Jake Rowe, 7-for-7. The Dogs did it. An absolute freaking tear. The likes of which neither of us can recall. No one knows anything that's even similar to it. It's one for the record books. And listen, anybody, I guarantee you will have the naysayers. Oh, it's June, whatever, man. Listen, there's not a hotter team nationally recruiting than the Georgia Bulldogs right now.
I tell you what, those guys that they lost, they sure weren't worried about telling us about how it was only June. That didn't come up then for some reason. I like to have fun with the negative Georgia fans. And for all of you, just be quiet right now, okay? Don't bother any of us anymore. Folks told you like over and over and over again that this was going to happen. And, this is Georgia recruits well, man. This is something I think you can hang your hat on just about every single year. Every single year, Georgia's going to recruit really well. And the fact that they went on a tear does not surprise me. Now, I've never seen anything like seven commitments in 7 days. I've seen 3-4 commitments in a day and then a few days off or whatever. Maybe 5 or 6 commitments in 5 or 6 days, with some, 2 here, 2 there. I don't know. But I can never recall been going on a streak where we had one a day for seven. I could get used to that too, because it was kind of easy to cover as opposed to having 3 or 4 in a day. The only one that really drug out and that was a little bit of a hostage situation was the James Johnson deal. And we'll get to his commitment there in a little bit. But I mean, started last Sunday with Shedarius Tootle. Then you moved to Kamari Brooks on Monday, Corey Howard on Tuesday, and then Jay Lamar on Wednesday. And that was kind of the checkpoint for us as far as shows went. We kind of chopped it off after that because Rusty and I went live and did a show after the Jay Lamar commitment. Just looking back at those four, getting those four guys into place. I mean, at that point, Georgia had 3 straight commitments from guys out of the state of Georgia. It had landed some major targets. Kamari Brooks was a massive target. Shedarius Tootle was a guy that Georgia was recruiting really well. And for those of you out there who are constantly on Tyler Atkinson, watch, no impact there. Georgia wants to take Shedarius Tootle, Nick Abrams, and Tyler Atkinson. Tyler Atkinson has a spot in this class, and Georgia's in at, if you can come on over to Dogs HQ and read what kind of shape Georgia's in for Tyler Atkinson. And I don't think you'll be disappointed based on what has been reported of late. So, that's where things stand right now, man. And I don't know what your thoughts are. Of the four guys that Georgia got there early in the week, of that four, since the last time we've talked, biggest one in your opinion?
I think because of how they had their eggs in the basket, I think it's Kamari Brooks. I think that was a guy that they really needed to land.
Did we talk about this on the front end? Did we say?
I think we did at some point. We talked about, yeah. I mean, we had discussed this at one point. Brooks to me was the guy just because they had all their eggs in that edge basket, and pass rusher is such a crucial position. Now, also too, though, you got to think that Jay Lamar fits that as well. But I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to say, Jake, because I mean, you and I were talking about this right before the show started. Corey Howard has the frame that is the rarest of all of these guys. I mean, that's the one that you there are only so many people in the on earth built like Corey Howard. So there's a real value to that as well. I think it's Brooks, though. I think that keeping a local kid home can be difficult. It can prove to be difficult. A guy who lives that close, it's like I said, I bet I would be willing to bet like 60 to 70% of people that he interacts with at school on a daily basis graduated from the University of Georgia or love the University of Georgia as strongly as about anybody out there. He's hearing Go Dawgs every time he goes to the striplings out there. He's going to Publix, whatever. It doesn't matter. He's hearing Go Dawgs a lot. So a really, really huge get for them in that regard. And a guy who brings a ton of value. Now, the Howard one, though, I think he's a little more of a project, not necessarily as ready-made as Brooks, but we talked about too, he fits the mold of that Trayvon Walker, that Mykel Williams. You get a guy like that, that has a ton of value, not only at the college level, but the NFL loves him, a dude like that too.
Yeah, and it would not surprise me if 10 years down the road, well, not 10 years down the road, that'd be a long college career, a few years down the road, if Corey Howard was the highest drafted guy, the guys that committed this week, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, I don't expect it. I think maybe, you know, maybe James Johnson, maybe end of high, maybe even Craig Dandridge, if he turns out to be what we think he can be at the receiver position. Chase Calicut's also in there too. We're going to get to all three of those guys. Want to speak to my man Corey here. No disrespect to two Jakes. Where the heck is my man Rusty Mandela? I did not know Rusty was related to Nelson. So that's pretty cool.
I'm really glad we're not having to get him out of a South African jail.
Right, the Rusty Mandela effect, no doubt. But I thought that was hilarious for sure.
It was a great run. Look, if you're going on a run and you need some glasses to do it, sunheist.com. Code DOGSHQ20. Get over to Sunheist. Check them out. Fantastic folks. Easy company to deal with. The customer service. Listen, the product is outstanding. We've told you about that many, many times. Okay. The quality is outstanding. The polarization is injected. It's not going to delaminate on you. The frames are super light, et cetera, et cetera. The customer service to me is what sets sunheist.com apart. They are super responsive. They get back to you super quick. They are going to include super quick shipping, free returns on the products. You get free shipping on order over $65. They've got new styles coming all the time. The Redwoods just dropped. Those are kind of smooth right
there.
Dude,
let me tell you something. I've tried these on, and I'm going to get a pair. I'm absolutely going to get a pair. These Redwoods are unbelievably cool.
Jay Crow going to be styling and profiling in a pair of Redwoods here very soon. But sunheist.com, like I said, if you want to, I know that sometimes it can be difficult to purchase a product that you want to try on first. Because their customer service is so responsive, it's so easy, you don't have to be concerned about it. Give them a shot, take them in. If you don't like it, send it back. Free returns, no skin off of you, right? It's a great product. We know you'll love it if you try it. Get over, check out sunheist.com. Use code DAWGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20, for 20% off your first purchase.
And let me tell you something. Like you pointed out, not only do you get great customer service, they're going to send you a sunglass case. They're going to send you something to clean the sunglasses with, a bag to carry them in.
Necklace.
A sunglass cord. Like they outfit you. And again, shop local, support local businesses. Not only that, Shane and Mary are just cool as all get out too. They're just awesome people and we love supporting them. No doubt about it.
Speaking of loving, if you are a Georgia fan, you were probably loving how the rest of that week went. Like we said, we touch base with you here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel after Jay Lamar committed. And that was just like, halfway through the insanity, man. It got even crazier from there, which is hard to believe. But Jay Lamar on Wednesday. Thursday comes Cambridge wide receiver Craig Dandridge. And Craig Dandridge is a guy, Jake, who the thing I love about him is he burst onto the scene. He got onto the radar. And Craig Dandridge continues to get better. that there is a continued elevation in the game of Craig Dandridge, the state's leading receiver last year as a junior, and a guy that, and we talked about this over the course of his recruitment, sort of made himself undeniable for Georgia coaches. Was a guy that you felt like they were playing a little slow maybe early on, but each and every time you heard Craig Dandridge visited or you heard James Coley got over there to see him, it seemed like things took another step in the direction of Craig Dandridge is going to be in the class, to the point where Craig Dandridge, you had to have him. I mean, that was how they felt, I think, by the end of this thing.
Yeah, he eventually, I think, I'm pretty sure, became the number one receiver prospect on their board.
I believe it completely.
They saw him enough, and I don't know if it took – I do believe he camped at Georgia like very early on, or they, I don't know how it worked out, but I know that there was at some point you started to hear like, this is the guy for Georgia. Like, this is the guy that they really wanted to take. And I can understand why. I mean, the thing for me is the production side of it. Like, I can't remember too many times where Georgia went out there and they got kind of the most prolific receiver in the state of Georgia in terms of yards and catches and things like that. And we're not talking about a dude right here that plays at a powerhouse. Okay. Like that, the powerhouse in his town is Milton High School. That's where Cambridge is at Milton, Georgia. And that's the powerhouse. And he doesn't play for that team. He's out there as the guy. You know, I think this right here, he's playing against, this isn't North Gwinnett, is it?
That's Cedartown, I think.
Yeah, it is Cedartown. You're right. Yeah, I saw the C on the collar right as I was about to say North Gwinnett.
Yeah.
But he's out there playing against teams, and everybody knows, like, you've got to shut Craig Dandridge down. But he still goes out there and puts 1,700 yards up as a high school junior. I'm sure he's going to get a ton of attention this year. And I do, you know, I am kind of fascinated to see how good he can be. But you see this guy pushing routes downfield against good football teams, you know, beating teams deep, catching runs, stuff. Even see him play a little defense. He's really talented. And I think it was really telling for Georgia, really telling that Georgia just fell in love with this kid more and more as time went on. And they really went ahead and kind of settled on him as their number one, not settled on him, but they went ahead and decided on him as their number one overall prospect at that position. And listen, before this is over with, you're going to be looking at a top 150 prospect, maybe a top 100 guy, in my opinion.
I am curious, Jake. You said something there that caught my attention, and I really had not ever considered this. But typically, you don't see that guy, the state leader in yardage, right, be a guy that Georgia targets. And I think that sometimes that can be level of competition. That can be a guy who is not physically there. He's playing a very small school ball or et cetera. Am I wrong in that? I mean, I feel like the guys, typically those guys aren't on the Georgia radar, despite the fact that Georgia has great high school.
I mean, I think there's sometimes they've been on the radar. I think sometimes they just don't get them. You know, another school will swoop in and kind of take them, you know, with the whole big wide receiver pitch and the kind of wide receiver focused offenses and things like that. I would be interested to go back a few years and find out who was ranked or who was the state's leading receiver, you know, the past 5 or 6 years, and how did Georgia recruit those guys? Because sure, I think CJ Wiley would have been up there as a junior, Georgia was all over him. He had over 1,500 yards as a junior. I would like to go back and see that. And another thing that I guess makes it kind of tough on that is you never really know what yardages to look at and how many games certain guys play in. Like, a guy could end up with 2,000 yards receiving playing 15 games, but a guy could have 1,600 yards receiving and playing 11. You know, it's kind of hard to nail down there. But Dandridge was clearly 100%. Rusty brought this up many times, and I got to give Rusty credit because he was out front on Dandridge. Like, he was out front talking about him before most people were. So I do think Rusty was out front of this one. And, you know, Georgia got their guy here. There's no doubt about it.
Well, speaking of getting their guy, on Friday they shifted gears and they got an absolute alien of a human being in Chase Calicut, 4-star cornerback out of North Shore High School. And if you don't know North Shore High School, maybe you know Buford or you know Grayson or you know Milton. Well, North Shore is that kind of high school in the state of Texas. So that takes it to another level, right? Always dudes at North Shore High School. Probably the guy that Georgia fans would remember most closely, I would assume, would be Zach Evans, who played there a few years. Yeah, dude, look, I'm telling you.
Dude, hey, there are a few things, and I'll just reveal this. I'm not some great talent evaluator or anything like that. I'm not trying to say. But the guys that go out there and just take the football from other players, to me, that has always kind of signaled, hey, this game is slow for me. And I'm kind of just out here. It's almost a man amongst boys type thing.
Yeah, no, I'm a man, and you are a child.
And that going up to another player and just snatching the football away from him just always speaks to me in terms of an elite player.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm completely with that. Chase Calicut, it comes down to Texas and Georgia and Michigan. And this kid goes with the Georgia Bulldogs. Told Chad Simmons he surprised himself. Jake, a 6'3", 190-pound guy, plays safety for North Shore. Georgia likes him at cornerback, and I can see why, man. I said earlier, he looks like a spider trapped in a man suit. He's just so long and freaky. Looks like to me he strides about 3 to 4 yards every time he takes a step, too. A guy that, 2 months ago, nobody would have probably projected into this class. And Georgia gets him on campus for an official visit and really impresses him. Development, a lot of talk out there about money. He could he have made more money elsewhere, whatever. He's a guy that they clearly targeted and loved. And I said it, not only is this a great pickup for Georgia, but it's a great pickup for Dante Williams, who's having himself one hell of a recruiting cycle.
Yeah, he is. And I got to say, like, I don't know if you could take the number one cornerback in the country and put him out here, and I couldn't tell you for sure if he could play cornerback at the next level. Like, is that hard of a position to play? But when I watch that kid right there play safety, I can't imagine there being a better safety prospect in the country. Like, I mean, the way he covers ground, the size, the way he sorts through traffic – his tackling ability, everything is on point there. So, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind. I don't know where he's going to end up ranked, you know, in the big picture, but I think this is another, you know, surefire top 100 player for Kirby, if not an eventual five-star, if he can kind of put it together in a senior season, because he's elite. I mean, this is an elite talent right here. And this is the kind of guy that when Georgia gets their hands on him, they usually turn out to be fantastic players. Guys with this kind of film and that kind of frame and measurables. You know, we talked to Matt Godwin, and Matt Godwin talked about how, you know, traits, you know, Georgia recruited traits very heavily. They recruit the traits and develop the football player types of talent. And he's a great football player with phenomenal traits. And again, I can't sit here and tell you, hey, I think he's going to be a superstar at the cornerback position. But I feel like safety, which is a lot easier position to evaluate, I can't imagine anybody being better.
Yeah, like you said, it's hard to say that the guy's going to be a superstar. If I had to bet, I'd say he's got a real good chance because he is built incredibly. He's built like you would build a creative player if you did not.
He's built like me. Like, yeah, he kind of is.
No, if you were trying to make a creative player and you said, I'm going to push this a little bit past what like fair would be, but I don't want to be egregious with it. You'd probably come up with Chase Calicut's measurements and his ability. A huge, huge win for him, Jake. And I mean, a guy that was sold on the Georgia development and made that very, very clear. Now, I'll tell you this. Anybody who thinks that Georgia was not competitive in their NIL offer is also wrong. I mean, the kid is not just out here selling himself completely short. Did he leave some money on the table? He says he did, so I believe him. But at the end of the day, I don't know that it's a situation. I mean, Georgia didn't get this kid to come, like I say all the time, because he thinks that the tree that owns itself is cool.
That's right, 100%. I agree with that. And you know, that the tree that owns itself is kind of overrated, if we're being honest.
Easy.
Just kind of overrated. There's a little bit too much talk of this tree, okay? I'm tired of hearing about it already.
I remember, I missed the Nubian temple over by it.
I remember when our buddy used to live over there by that tree.
Yeah.
So, funny thing, I want to speak to some Georgia fans out there, mainly the ones on our message board. And I hope the those of you who listen to the podcast, you'll hear this. Jake, can you remind me again who was recruiting this kid?
Texas and Michigan were the finalists.
Georgia beat Texas for a kid. Can you believe that astronomical upset? Texas didn't just take Georgia for everything it was worth. Remember that time Texas took Justice Terry and it all of a sudden took us.
Zaire Mitchell, too.
It was an Infinity Stone moment. I don't know if you realize that. Somebody snapped their fingers. It was Infinity Stones. And all of a sudden, Texas had won every battle against Georgia since the dawn of time. And Georgia was just begging for a win over Texas on the recruiting trail.
Just groveling. Please.
Just please beat.
Give us a 2-star.
Calm down. All right. Calm down. Georgia beat Texas for him. They beat Texas for this next guy we're going to talk about, too. And by the way, they also beat Texas on the final day, on National Signing Day. I remember getting it confirmed. I confirmed it. All right. DeAndre Baker. I'll never forget it. He tweeted a picture of a bull, and everybody thought he's flipping to Texas. And I shot him a text, and I said, hey, you flipping to Texas? He said, no, I'm sticking with Georgia. So I don't know why he did that. I didn't get in that far. I didn't ask him. I didn't figure it in. I got what I needed.
And I didn't really care. At that point, it was fine.
Yeah.
It's just not really my business.
Yeah, it's none of my business. What are you talking about? It is one of those situations, though. My wife, and I don't know if anybody else is out there, if you're in the comments, hit me up. This is really funny. My wife, in that situation, would have asked that kid 15,000 questions. All right. Sure. She would have had it sussed out. Precisely why he put that bull up there. I was just moving on. All right, I'm ready to roll. But the same thing happened with James Johnson. Texas, a big-time player, got reason to believe Texas probably finished second in this recruitment. Not the vaunted Miami Hurricanes, believe it.
Big-time player may not accurately describe James Johnson. The number one rated defensive lineman in the On 300 rankings, the number two defensive lineman in the industry ranking, a guy with power, size, speed, just tracking people down out there. This guy, the thing about it, Jake, was, and we talked about it earlier, you heard how many times it can't happen. If Miami wants this kid, Georgia has no chance. And instead, and you rightfully pointed this out, it was pretty well wire-to-wire Georgia. The kid loved Georgia in the beginning, and he ends up with Georgia in the end. The Georgia Bulldogs did an outstanding job in the recruitment of James Johnson. I mean, they really did.
Not only that, it's we got to take this a step further because you brought this up. This one was considered to be the quintessential NIL recruitment. If Miami wants him, they're going to get him. No, Texas is involved. If they want him, they're going to get him. Wire-to-wire. I've got good solid intel that suggests that Georgia offered this kid in the spring. They got him on campus. He named them his leader, and nobody ever overtook Georgia after that. Okay. So the next time, you get in your feels and you want to talk about, all right, does this recruiting information stuff even matter anymore? Yeah, man, it does. We brought you to the doorstep on every one of these guys, and that's not bragging. That's our job. That's our job. Nobody's sitting here saying, yeah, we're awesome. I'm not. We're just doing our job, but it still matters. If you want to follow it, we've got your information. And we're gonna and I'm not just saying it for Dogs HQ. I'm saying across the industry still serves an incredible purpose in this whole thing. It's different now, it's more volatile, it changes at the last minute sometimes. But this is still very relevant stuff that we're talking about and we're discussing and we're covering here. What it comes down to is when you get the rug snatched out from under you, you're looking for a finger to point and you're wondering if the information you get's accurate anymore. And it still very almost always is. And we're going to be wrong sometimes. We're going to be right a lot more.
Well, we're dealing with human beings.
Yeah.
With free will. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to all of this. I'm curious, Jake, this James Johnson film, what, you're one of these guys. I know you love your D lineman play. You got a comp for this guy? Anybody that comes to mind when you're seeing James Johnson?
I mean, he reminds me. He's Jalen Carter light. I'm not trying to put that kind of.
Somebody say Geno Atkins the other day. How do you feel about that?
Geno's just a six. Geno was sawed off though. He was like a 6'1" kid. Johnson checks off all the boxes. Like, I'm not trying to say he's not as good as Jalen Carter. Like, I'm not trying to put those expectations right on him, but a very similar frame and style of play. Whereas, you know, he's not going to sit there and he's not a guy that's going to sit there and wallow and good Jesus Christ. Did you see that? That was unbelievable. I mean, he's about to blow this kid up. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This is like that George Pickens play.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's crazy, you know, and that's the kind of guy he is. He's got real heavy, explosive hands. He's a great athlete. He's a playmaker. He's a disruptor, and he's not going to sit there and wallow around double teams for you all day long. And he's not going to be that kind of player. He's going to be the kind of player that splits those double teams and gets in the backfield. Again, I'm going to say it for the third time, not Jalen Carter, but Jalen Carter Light, similar style of play, similar style of things that he can accomplish, size and all of that stuff. But when you get to the end of the day, he's got a long way to go before he's going to be that kind of player. And I don't necessarily know that I would even go as far as to say he's got that kind of potential. I don't know that he does, but I do think he's got a potential to be a very, very big time defensive lineman at the college level. And I think Georgia got a really good one in Trey Scott, and once again goes out and gets another elite defensive lineman. And I think if we're doing the math on this, we're looking at, I mean, so several classes in a row. I mean, you got James Johnson in this one. You had Elijah Griffin in the class before that. You had Joseph Jonah Janye in the class before that. Jordan Hall in the class before that. So, you know, you were talking at least a five-star top 150 prospect in every class for a while now.
Yeah, no, it's an unbelievable run at that position for Georgia. And really another strong, strong class with more meat left on the bone for Georgia at the defensive line spot. I mean, but you go get a kid like this to go alongside a guy like Seven Cloud. And
listen, I can't even fault Georgia fans for forgetting about Seven Cloud, because I constantly forget Georgia has the number one junior college player in the country committed to them. Yes, so you got Seven Cloud there. And Georgia's still all in on Valdin Sohn. And if you're going to want information on him in the coming days, you're going to want to be over at Dogs HQ. We're going to probably have some stuff on that. They're trying to add another guy tomorrow night, and I guess that kind of brings us to our next thing. But before we do, let's tell them about our man, Andy Ludeke.
Look, if you're looking for a guy, Andy Ludeke's a guy. And he's a guy with a lot of information on franchises. And you can get over to MyPerfectFranchise.net to leverage that information for yourself. Andy and his team are working to pair you with your perfect franchise. What does that mean? Well, they're looking at what you want out of a business, what you desire, and how you want your life to look in a business standpoint. Now, there are a lot of franchises out there. It's not all just McDonald's and Subway's, although those are options too. What they do is they work to pair you with the franchise that best fits your needs and your life. So their services come free to you because the franchise operators pay them to bring other people to them. That's how this works. So if you're looking to expand your portfolio, you're looking to change things up in your life, get over to MyPerfectFranchise.net. Like I said, man, Andy Ludeke's a guy.
That's right. Andy Ludeke is a guy. He's been our guy for a while too. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
In this business, sometimes, you know, your partners can kind of come and go a little bit. Andy Ludeke has stuck with us for a while, as have all of them, really. You know, Sun Heist, American Pride Bank, they're all tremendous for us. So another one or more coming for Georgia. I mean, we know they're not done in this class, but we're looking at tomorrow. And there are two decisions on tap. Let's preview them. Give me some info here.
Yeah, so we've got 24 commits on the list right now as things stand. 3:30 tomorrow, P.J. Dean will make his commit.
Can I stop you there real quick? One quick thing on having 24 commits. I know a lot of people will be like, how many can we take? How many can we take? Brothers and sisters, and I'm telling you right now, there may be 24 people committed. I can guarantee you that not all 24 of those people are going to be on college scholarship at the University of Georgia next season. Maybe eventually, but of those commitments, and that's what kind of makes the commitment list a little bit weird. Like, would it surprise me if neither one of those specialists that are committed to Georgia were on scholarship? Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. No, it would. It would not surprise me one bit.
Yeah, it would.
But no, it wouldn't surprise me at all if neither one of those guys were on there. You know, you look at some of these in-state, you know, players that Georgia has committed, the ones that can kind of get Hope scholarship and maybe kind of get some NIL money to cover the rest of their, you know, tuition and stuff like that, would not surprise me one bit if those were the types of things that were happening. So when you start talking about numbers, you need to understand that that number is not the end-all be-all. That 24 commitments there, you know, I would venture to say that Georgia's probably only, you know, of the group there right now, 21, 22 yeah. maybe. You know, so when you start, you know, get into numbers, don't get lost in that because, again, that's always something that's subject to change.
They will turn their attention, the Georgia Bulldogs will, tomorrow to 3:30 p.m. P.J. Dean making his commitment out of West Forsyth High School up there in Clemens, North Carolina. He is the brother of Pazuzu. Jared Wilson. I'm sorry?
Home of Pazuzu, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah, I love
Pazuzu. If you haven't looked that way, Bruce and I went down a rabbit hole on this insane person that named Pazuzu that we learned about on the Vice.
I mean, another Georgia podcast that is doing Pazuzu content. I want to know who else is out there doing it. Clemens, North Carolina, the hometown, the West Forsyth High School, and a guy who, if you are familiar with his name, it's probably because you know his brother, who was a pretty damn good dog in his own right, Jared Wilson, a tremendous player. This guy, PJ Dean, was originally thought of as following in his brother's footsteps at offensive line and switched things, I guess, gosh, within the last 8 months, roughly, it feels like, to a defensive line. And now it's focused on that and seemingly will play there. I love – one of the things I love about P.J. Dean's profile is that it is – they must have great numbers on P.J. Dean because it says he is 6'3.2".
Yeah.
So, that is a hyper-specific number. I think that is exactly how tall P.J. Dean is.
They got P.J. Dean, the game warden, to measure. Yeah.
He is 255 pounds, the number 78 player in the industry ranking, number 5 defensive lineman in the industry ranking. And Jake, a guy that South Carolina, you've heard a lot about, Ohio State throughout this one, you've heard mentioned as well. And look, you know, it feels like this is trending Georgia leading into the decision. And a cool point that you made, another brother here in the terms of little brother guys.
What a class.
Yeah, you got Carter Lucky, Akane Ogboko, and then the potential of that in P.J. Dean. That's pretty neat, man.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia does some weird stuff. I mean, they get 7 commitments in 7 days. They have this happen with the 3 little brothers. Heck, they signed, you know, the Luckies that's not even the weirdest thing the Luckies have ever been involved with. All 3 of those dudes signed with Georgia in one class. Triplets, bro. Sometimes I think about that. I told Rusty this the other day. I was like, dude, if you ever just like sit there, you don't even have to be high or anything. You don't even have to be. you just sit there. I'm not making any insinuations on Rusty there, by the way. I just knew that would crack Jake Roos up. But you don't have to have an altered head to think about this and be like, Georgia signed triplets in a class. And 2 of them were really good players. And the other one was obviously quality enough player to be there. But, you know, Dustin, Mike, and Miles, Lucky, all signed with Georgia in the same class. It was really unbelievable. So
you got to feel some kind of way if you're a father who can produce 3 SEC triplets. That's badass, man.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I would imagine I would be more impressed with the mother, personally. I mean,
well, you know, sure.
She gave birth to three kids who got a full ride at Georgia in the same day. I mean, what
absolutely.
A
absolutely.
Incredible. But yeah, so Georgia's got a chance to get PJ Dean. And then sounds like Georgia is very much in the mix for Preston Carey, another 300-pound defensive lineman from Buffalo, New York, if I'm not mistaken, kind of that area. But is playing his high school ball at IMG Academy. He's a 4-star in the on-3 industry ranking, but a 3-star by 3 of the 4 outlets. So I'm interested to see kind of where things pan out for him in the long run, but Georgia and Florida seem to be battling there.
Yeah, 4 schools in the running for him, Georgia, Florida, Auburn, and Rutgers. So going to be interesting to see how that one goes for the Bulldogs. They don't seem like they're scared of taking a lot of defensive line talent. And I've said, take them all, for God's sakes. Listen, you can't get enough of these guys. These are rare people, and you saw it last class, man. They were a little thin last class. what, Hane and Elijah Griffin and
– That's it.
That, yeah, that's, so, I mean, look, you kind of – you need to get some numbers back in that room. I think –
I mean, maybe Isaiah Gibson if he turns into a defensive end long-term.
Sure. But, you know, people have said, oh, you know, they need to hold back for this 27 class and this incredible edge group. You can't do that. I'm sorry. You got to take who's ready to come now.
Well, they can specifically maybe a little bit at edge because they're in a position where they took a heavy edge class last year.
Right.
So they can take, you know, take Kamari Brooks in this class or maybe even cross train a guy like PJ Dean, who, you know, is kind of in that 250, 260 range, or even a Corey Howard and kind of have that deal going on. But no, they need to
maybe
take
a guy like Anthony Lonnan.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that's where I'm at on this, right? So let's say Georgia's got Seven Cloud, Georgia's got James Johnson. All right. They've got Corey Howard at defensive end. They take PJ Dean at defensive end. That's two ends, two interior guys.
Carter Lucky.
I forgot about Carter Lucky too. So you got Carter Lucky who may fit into either one of those categories. We're at five defensive linemen. All right. And then you move forward. To Preston Carey. Are they going to take him? If they take him, that's six defensive linemen. And then you've got Valdine Sohn, who we know 100% has a spot. And then Anthony Lonnan too. That's wild. I mean, I have a tough time seeing Georgia taking that many defensive linemen, but it certainly seems like it's in play. It's possible. They're trying.
Yeah, and that's not accounting for the fact that we're still watching Derek Cooper. We're still watching Caden Prothrow. We're still watching, another offensive tackle. A
young man named Tyler Atkinson. I don't know.
Tyler Atkinson. I mean, there's a lot of meat left on the bone, Jake. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to see how Georgia allocates these spots. We talked about this earlier, too, and I do think that there is something to the idea. Look, you've got to give credit where credit's due. Georgia has recruited incredibly in the NIL era and before it. But I do think that this the House settlement, at least in my mind, it appears, has perhaps brought a little bit of parity and a little bit of help to this particular class, because I think that Georgia appears to be quite forward-thinking in terms of the settlement. They look like a team that knows what they're going to be able to do. They were one of those teams we've talked about that has said, look, we can fulfill our promises. We can get you what we said we would get you. I think that this is a really interesting cycle for Georgia for a number of reasons, but that being one of them, that House settlement.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this and you're wondering, did the House settlement allow Georgia to go on this run?
And chicken and egg.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly say it helped, but I think Georgia recruiting like Georgia recruits, it has a bigger impact on any of it. You know, people were talking about, well, what's going on at Georgia? Why are they getting these? Well, it's going on at Georgia like it has as long as Kirby's been there. They recruit like this. This is how well they recruit. Now, does the House settlement kind of bring home and drive home Georgia's point, which was when they were telling recruits, we're not going to make any promises beyond what the House settlement will allow us to do. You look like you've got your stuff together when you do that. Like you look like you've got your ducks in a row, whether you do or not. And I'm sure Georgia does, but you look like a detail-oriented, well-oiled machine in that aspect. And so I think that clearly spoke to recruits. But listen, those of you out there who are just shocked, stunned, and amazed that Georgia's had a good summer thus far and looks to be on the cusp of having an even better summer, I mean, I can't help you, all right? I can't fix your brain and make you re-remember the 9 years that came before this and Georgia recruiting really well. Georgia just recruits this well. This is not unprecedented. It's unprecedented the way the commitments came in as far as but I think that had to do with timing as much as anything else. And listen, next time you want to listen to somebody and figure out whether they're telling the truth or not, Hayes Fawcett, I believe he gained some credibility this week, said Georgia was about to go on a heater. And boy, did they. I mean, since June the 18th, which was 11 days ago, Georgia's added eight commitments, a couple of top 100 guys, several top 150 guys, some major targets. And then you go to 12 days, got a good chance to add another one, a top 100 guy again tomorrow, and then get on into July. You got Derek Cooper and Caden Prothrow deciding on the same day. They're going to stick in the mix for Valdez Sohn until the very end.
Alex got to make a decision at some point.
Yeah, and then Tyler Atkinson is going to make a decision as well. We're going to have it covered for you at Dogs HQ. And listen, if I know anything about Mondays at Dogs HQ, that's going to where you're going to want to be if you want some information come tomorrow morning.
Guys, look, it's been a lot, and we have really enjoyed covering it all. And we'll cover every bit of it moving forward. Like Jake Rose said, it ain't done, man. We've got plenty more where this came from. Now, I don't know if we'll get another 7 in 7 days kind of streak, but there's a lot of movement still left in the class for this one. Oh, yeah, and, we're not too far out of football, I don't think, either. So that's exciting as well. Get over to Dogs HQ. Come hang out with us. We've always got something going on over there, and we are excited to share it with you. Come back soon for the Georgia Show. We'll be back with you later this week as well. And for our friends at Sun Heist, American Pride Bank, MyPerfectFranchise.net, we appreciate you tuning in, and we'll see you soon.